We are up to the Gemara and the Aslam and Tessam and Aleph towards the bottom. It's about first of the very wide lines at the bottom. And the Gemara says the following. Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi, Pas Tzenuma B'Ka'ara Mevarchen Aleha Hamotzi. What does Pas Tzenuma B'Ka'ara mean? So Rashi explains that it means bread that was somewhat dried up in a Ka'ara might be a pot, or maybe even could be a plate. He put it there, put it in this plate to soak because it's very hard. It's dried out. The word tsunuma, you have tsunumos, that Rashi quotes from the description of the dried up grain in the dream of Paro. So the statement on the surface seems to be a very, very strange statement. You're talking about pasta, maybe it was a little bit stale, and you put it in water to soak. So you'd ask yourself the question, okay, so what would you think the din would be? Pasta tsunuma b'ka'ara, what bracha would you make on it? You wouldn't make a bracha on it. What bracha do you think? This is the question that bothers a lot of the Rishonim. So starting with Tosos. Is what's the havamina? What else would you do on pasta tsunuma b'ka'ara? Because if you remember earlier, the only time pas might lose its shame, pas, is if you cook it. But if you just soak it in water, then you haven't really transformed it. So even if the pieces are less than a kezias, it shouldn't actually matter. The halacha should be that you make hamotzi on it. So that really is the vexing question all the Rishonim have to grapple with here. And in a certain sense, although this is not the way I necessarily would have read it, there are two ways to parse this sentence. And I'll read them. I'll try to see if I can convey the nuance of presenting it just by voice. The first one is, Pasat Tzuma B'Kara, Mevorachin Alea Hamotzi. The other possibility, which will not be obvious to you why this should be so, is Pasat Tzuma B'Kara, Mevorachin Alea Hamotzi. Now, what's
sorry,
the difference?
Sorry, Rabbi, I missed it. Where are you?
Bahadim Olam and Tessam and Aleph. So again, pas atzuma b'kara mevarchan aleha hamotzi, or pas atzuma b'kara mevarchan aleha hamotzi. So that subtle difference is actually a major machlokas harishonim, and Lenny is looking a little puzzled here. Is what is he talking about? So again, I'll repeat the original thing, point that I started with, which is what's the chiddush here? What bracha do you think you would have made on it? Now, if the emphasis is Lenny on pas atzuma b'kara mevarchan aleha hamotzi, then that question's a good question, because what's the alternative? You're going to make a shahakal on the bread? You're going to make a hadam on the bread? There's an interpretation that follows this. It's the position of the Baal Hamor, where he says that Pasat Tzumer Bakara doesn't have Tzuras Apas. It doesn't have Torisa de Nahama, an expression we've seen already. And nonetheless, you make Hamotzi on it. He explains why it's different than things that we've seen before, even though it's lost its tzuras apas. Others take issue with the Baal Hamor. But the Baal Hamor is responding to the fact that the Gemara seems to be telling us that you make hamotzi on pasta tzuma b'kara, and you would have thought that you don't make hamotzi on it. You would have thought that somehow this isn't bread anymore. So that is one way of interpreting. It's not the primary approach that most Rishonim have. The primary approach really starts with Tosfos. The bottom Tosfos on our page says the following, and Tosfos knows something that you don't know. Tosfos has already read the Gemara on Daf Lamed Tes on the base, which is going to have a discussion about what happens if you have two loaves of bread in front of you. One of them is a big loaf of bread, but it's not whole. A piece was broken off already. And the other one is a smaller loaf of bread, but it's whole. It's complete. It's shlema. So which do you make the bracha on? Is there a preference to make the bracha on it? So there's a machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan, as what we're going to explore later. At great length as to what you're supposed to do, which loaf of bread you're supposed to make the bracha on. But for the moment, be aware of the fact that there is a question or there is a notion of kedima, that when you're dealing with two non-identical foodstuffs in front of you, there is a prioritization system. We've already discussed that or touched upon it a little bit earlier on our Omad when we spoke about the story with Bar Kapara and Hizu Talmidim, and the chicken wings, and the cooked vegetables. So there was already a little bit of a discussion, what is the preference in terms of Well, what is the priorities of making brachos? But Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan are going to debate on the next Talmud, what do you do with two different kinds of bread, but where the breads are different. In the particular point that they dispute is a case where the bread, one loaf is, as I said, whole, and one loaf, let's say, is bigger. So which would you prefer, which is nicer, which is better to make a bracha? On the one hand, more is better. That seems to be certainly a general philosophy, but it's not actually true. And the other possibility is that, no, but you know, something that's complete and whole, that's really more worthy of making a bracha. So in light of that, you can read, and Tosis is going to, although he doesn't explicitly articulate that that is what he's doing, is he's reading the sentence that Pasat Snuma Bata'ara Mevarchen Aleha Amotzi, as opposed to Aleha, as opposed to some other piece of bread that he has in front of him. Now, Pasat Snuma Bakara is something that when, what do you do when you want to, I mean, I don't really do this, but if you had a stale piece of bread and you wanted to soak well quickly to get it to soften it up, what you would do is you would break it up in preparation, soaking it and eating it. So if you broke up the Pasat Snuma Bakara, you did it in order to eat it. Now, consider what Tosos is going to propose here, and many Rishonim follow Tosos, is that there is another loaf of bread in front of you. Now, the Pasat Snuma Bakara has already been broken, and the other loaf in front of you is a Shlema. And so now the question is, not what bracha do you make on Pasat Snuma Bakara, but which foodstuff do you make the Hamotzi on? And Rav Chiya Bar Ashi is claiming that Pasat Snuma Bakara and a Shlema in front of you, Mevorchen Aleha Hamotzi. Okay. It's a very interesting interpretation, and it is irrelevant, as I'll explain why later, because we don't pass it in this way. But it's a difficult interpretation in the Gemara because the Ikar is Chasim and HaSefer. The primary point is missing. And the best argument you can make for this interpretation is that what immediately follows this sugya on the top of Lama Testament Beis on the sixth line is the machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. But when you first read the sentence, it doesn't really sound like the emphasis that you choose the Pasat Snuma Bakara to make the bracha on as opposed to the other thing, but rather that you make Hamotzi a Pasat Snuma Bakara as opposed to some other bracha, let's say Ha'adama or perhaps Shehachu. So let's take a look for a moment at the bottom Tosis. And Tosis says, the Im Tomar, Hichi Mayri, what's going on in this case that what Rav Chiya Bar Ashi is talking about? I just fill in one more detail. The Gemara is going to say in the next line, Upliga the Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya disagrees with Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, and Rav Chiya will explain Rav Chiya Shita when we read it. It's not important to read it from the next. For the moment, it's just note important. The way what Tosus did in his Dibur Maskil is he just said Upliga the Rav Chiya. He didn't quote the rest of the Gemara, because all you need to know is that Rav Chiya Bar Ashi says that you make a bracha hamotzi on the Pasat Snuma Bakara, and Rav Chiya disagrees. So Tosus says, what's the case? Im yesh shleima lefanav. If there is a whole piece of bread in front of you, ha'amrinan b'samoch t'chulei alma shleima adit. Now, this is the way Tosus read the Gemara. It's not exactly the way Rashi read the Gemara. When Tosus is going to read the Gemara later, the machlokes of Huna Rabbi Yochanan is that everybody agrees that if you want, you can make a bracha on the shleima. Rabbi Yochanan says you have to make it, if you have two pieces of bread in front of you, one is big and one is whole. Rav Huna, the way Tosas will read on Daf Lamed Testament Beis, Rav Huna believes that you can make on either one. It's your choice. It's Blesser's choice or bread breaker's choice. Whereas Rav Yochanan believes that you have to make it on the Shleima. So, Tosas says, how can anybody, Tosas reading the way he does, the Machlokas later, he says, how can you say that you make a bracha, that you have to make the bracha, you're supposed to make the bracha on the Pasat Snuma Bakara? After all, everybody agrees. Some say you have to make it on the Shlema, and some say you can make it on the Shlema, you can make it on either one. But it sounds like the Chiya Bar Ashi is saying, you're supposed to make the bracha of Hamotzi on the Pasat Snuma Bakara. So that's if there is a Shlema. V'ileka elek snuma, if you read the Gemara Kaputa, well, I would say it, Tosus doesn't say it. If you read the Gemara just in the simplest sense, that all you have in front of you is Pasat Snuma Bika'ara, then Heifi Polygala Rav Chiya. How could Rav Chiya argue with Rav Chiya Bar Ashi? Hamaskina la'el, peiruin afal pisha in bahem tizais, nevarachan alei hamotzi hova isbe turisa v'nam. Since there's a tzuras apas, no matter how small you crumble the bread, We learned earlier that you make hamotzion. So how could Rabbi Chiya possibly disagree? Now, the answer to that question, of course, is answered by the Baal HaMor. How could Rabbi Chiya possibly disagree? It's because Pasat Sumer Bekara doesn't have to reset the Dhamma. It doesn't have to reset the Pasat. But everybody else, almost everybody else, well, I think Rabbi Haigon also reads, the Baal HaMor reads that way, reads like the Baal HaMor, but everybody else assumes that Pasat Sumer Bekara has a Tzuras HaPas. So if the only piece of bread in front of you is the Pasat Sumer Bekara, of course you may come Otzi on it. How could Rabbi Chiya possibly disagree? So that's Tosus's question. One way or the other, Rabbi Chiya Barashi's claim doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense to say that you have to make a hamotzi on this as opposed to the shleima, because everybody agrees you can or you must make on the shleima. And if you're talking about a case where the only food in front of you was pasat tsnuma b'ka'ara, then of course you make hamotzi on it. What's the question? Why would Rabbi Chiya, why would anybody disagree? So that's Tosus's question. So three lines from the bottom of the page, Tosus says the following. V'yeshloma, tegon de'ika shlema l'chana. No, there is a shlema in front of him. Okay, so now the question is, why would we even think that you would make a brach on the pasat suma b'ka'ara? Certainly that you shouldn't have to make a brach on the pasat suma b'ka'ara. You could certainly choose at least to make a bracha on the shlema, if not in fact that you're obligated to make a bracha on the shlema. So Tosu says no. You know why? What happened here is ubatsa minat snuma. The pasat snuma might have been whole, but he broke it up. You know why he broke it up? He broke it up because he wanted to eat it. Rav Chiya bar Ashi savar da havei kamo shlema. Rav Chiya bar Ashi says it's like a shlema. Me'achar shehi chaveivala mevarechala. But the way other Rishon Tosu doesn't fill in. But the way everybody quotes Tosus, the way Tami Dever and Boni Yonah quote Tosus, I think the way the Rashba quotes Tosus, Tosus means the following. It's not that you like the Pasat Suma B'Kara, just that you like it better. It's that the timing doesn't matter. Right? Timing makes no difference. There's an idea that you're supposed to make the bracha on the whole bread. What if I want to make a bracha on this loaf of bread? Okay, and I'm preparing to eat, so you know what? I break it up. But that I intend to make hamotzi on it when I broke it up. It's not an hour later, a day later, a week later. It's just 30 seconds later. Rav Chiya bar Ashi says, the way Tosus is understood, is that that's not called making a bracha not on the shlema. It is considered shlema. The fact that I broke it up now, and now making the bracha doesn't mean it's not shlema. Breaking it up was preparation to eat it now, so therefore, if I want it, that's what I like, and that's what I want to eat, and that's what I prefer, that's not called non-shlema. That is Rav Chiya bar Ashi's position. And Rabbi Chiya, as we're going to see in the Gemara, believes, and this is the continuation, what our Gemara is going to deal with subsequent to this, in the next two opinions, Rabbi Chiya and Rava, who was asking like Rava in the end, is when do you break the bread? Let me take a survey here. I'm going to ask Rabbi Luxi what he does. I don't remember. I should know, because I should have been watching, because Vayu Einecha Reoses Marecha, but when I had the privilege of breaking bread, if we can say that with the Luxi's, so Rabbi Luxi, when do you start to cut the challah? I don't remember. You're mute. You're mute. I'm sorry. Can't hear you.
You were only at our table on Shabbos, so Shabbos is different. Okay,
that's fair. So what do you do on Shabbos?
So on Shabbos, our minhag is to make a fake slice, you know, in other words, just a little gesture on the challah. I'm not sure that you really need to do that, but
Those are both statements that are correct. Practice is very common to make like a little nick, and you really don't need to do that. Maybe, and actually you shouldn't do that, according to Mishnah Berurah.
I don't actually make a nick. I just sort of
touch it.
Make a gesture. In any event, normally though, I would cut, the loaf until the last cut. I leave that last cut for after the motzi.
Okay.
And that's the betziah.
That's correct. So we have a bit to talk about here, but in the Gemara itself, let me just step back before we go there, a little bit of history that I'm working on right now. I don't know the answer. It's good. I talked to one of my friends this morning after working on my own theories already, but here's an important question. When did people first start cutting their bread with a knife? I don't mean sliced bread. Sliced bread was kind of invented in the early 20th century. Right? The idiom of it's the best thing since sliced bread, we don't fully appreciate it because we've grown up with sliced bread if that's what you like. But the question is, when did people first start to cut bread with a knife, cut off a piece, as opposed to tearing with your hands, which is probably what the word both say on beans. So that was the question that I was working on. But I missed even a more fundamental question that a friend of mine I was talking to after davening this morning asked him what he thought about this. He raised the following observation. You don't ever cut bread with a knife if you're dealing with flatbreads like pita. Nobody, I mean, maybe the guy who wants to make a falafel, so he needs to cut it evenly. But everybody else, with a flatbread, you tear it. And you, by a loaf, you can talk about. Like now, you know, pull-apart challahs became popular probably in the last 20 years. They did, you can pull it apart. But if you're talking about cutting it with a knife, so you can only do that on a loaf as opposed to on a flatbread. So start with that. So cultures that didn't have loaves couldn't really be talking about chatichas lechem. They could only be talking about betzias. Now, I don't know. I've read conflicting things about whether there were loaves in Eretz Yisrael and when that fell out at some point. Certainly in Sephardic lands, my sense is they don't have loaf bread. They have pita. But so that's point number one. Point number two is that the best information I could find Googling is that cutting of breads begins in Constantinople in the 8th or 9th century, something like that. Now, one of the things that I think you will see, and this is the historian. It's a problem you think in two different worlds. You're trying to read sources on the one hand, but knowing that you're also not, that you might be reading history here. Tosfos is going to speak about the world of cutting bread with a knife. The Rambam makes absolutely no mention. Not anywhere. The Rambam, it's just not there, when we learn this Gemara. Okay, so that, just hang on to that background for the moment. I think that I'll peep shot in the Gemara, one can assume that they're not cutting bread with a knife. They're not cutting bread with a knife. In fact, just along those lines, you should be aware, it's only probably relatively recently that people started eating food with forks. Spoons for soup, they've always had. There's no way to eat soup with, you know, liquids without a spoon. But the use of fork and knife, the way we do it, that would be considered cultured and refined, is relatively recent. Okay. Josh is musing about that. I would suggest, Josh, that you continue to eat with the fork and knife nicely for Shalom Bayis purposes. I would suggest that to everybody. But it is amusing to think about the use of cutlery. Okay, so let's go back to the Gemara for a moment, and then we can sort of fully flesh out the rest of Tosfos. It's not that complicated. So the Gemara says that Rav Chiya bar Ashi's view that past numa b'ka'ara you make hamotzi on it. It means, let's just say for the moment, it means the bread's broken up already. Upliga the Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya argues that Amar Rabbi Chiya tzara shetichle bracha im hapas. That the bracha, the birchas hamotzi, as Rashi explains, should be finished. You should be saying hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz as you've torn the bread off. In other words, by the time you finish the bracha, the bread is no longer in one piece. That's what Rav Chiya said. So according to Rav Chiya, what does emerge is that the bread is not supposed to be torn. It's not supposed to be torn before you make the bracha, but by the time the bracha is over, the piece should already be detached. So Maskif of Rava comes along and asks a question. Maskif is from Svara. He doesn't have a source, but he's just asking a logical question. Maishna Snuma Dilo, why do you say Rabbi Chiya, let's read like Tosus, that it's better to make a bracha on the whole loaf than on the Snuma. Why do you say that you don't make it on Snuma? Mishum b'chikaya bracha prusa krakaya. Because when you make a bracha on Pasat Snuma b'kara, by the time you finish the bracha, not by the time you start the bracha, but by the time you finish the bracha, it's a prusa. It's already no longer whole. Well, guess what? If that's the case, ala pas nami, the way you, Rabbi Chiya, suggest that tzarech shetich le bracha im hapas, that by the time you finish the bracha, the bread has to be torn off, then ki gamra a prusa gamra. You're also finishing the bracha. So you're not starting the bracha on a prusa, but you're finishing the bracha on the prusa. Now, you might ask yourself a question for just a moment, and this might seem very strange to us, but we'll see this in Tosis. Why would you just not wait, according to Rabbi Chiya? Why would Rabbi Chiya say, Rabbi Chiya doesn't say that you can finish the bracha with the pas. In fact, one might even say that im ha-pas, shetich la-bracha ma-pas means the bracha comes to an end when the pas comes to an end, meaning when it's no longer whole. So why Rabbi Chiya say that you have to do it that way? It's one thing to say that if it's broken, you make a bracha on it. Why did you say tzarach? The answer, I presume, is what Tosis is going to be concerned about on the next page, which is a hefsek. We may not be so concerned about this. We don't see this as being so long, but think about what happens when you have to cut the challah on Shabbos. right? You finish saying Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, and how long does it go until you've eaten the bread? Now, I personally generally like to, when I cut the challah, is I will cut one slice, I will eat it myself, and then I will cut for everybody else, which probably solves a lot of problems. There's a very interesting discussion in Shulchan Aruch. What happens if I've eaten bread already from the challah? You're not allowed to do it anyway, but don't even walk away thinking it's okay. What happens if somebody, after I've eaten from the bread, before they've gotten bread, they talk? Do they need another bracha or not? It's not so clear they need another bracha. Maybe they don't need it at all. I made a bracha, I ate, bracha is done, now everybody can eat on the basis of my bracha. In the same way that if I make a bracha on bread, I eat a piece of bread, I'm allowed to talk now and I can eat more bread, so it may not be any different. Okay? But it's good practice that you should remain silent until you've eaten, at least eaten your bread. Now, Rav Chiya probably is concerned about hesed. So that's why he says, don't wait till you finish the bracha to rip the loaf off the bread. Make sure that, you've already torn it off so that by the time the bracha's over, the bread is over as well. So Rava says, but one second, if that's the case, then who cares? What difference does it make whether it's tsuma bika'ara or whether you break it off in the middle of the bracha? At the end of the day, when the bracha is whole and complete, the bread is not. So what have you accomplished, Rabbi Chiya? If Rabbi Chiya would disagree with Rabbi Chiya Barashi and say, no, if you have a shleima and a pasat tsnuma bakara, you have to make a bracha, excuse me, on the shleima. Why? Because at the end of the day, the bracha is completed in both cases on a piece of bread. So make the bracha whichever one you want. So Rava says, Ella, the proper thing, turning over to Lamed Tesson and Bey, Ella, Ama Rava mevarech the achar kach boteh. Rava says that first you make the bracha, you complete the bracha, and then you break off the bread and you eat it. So this way, when the bracha is completed, it's on this beautiful, complete, whole loaf of bread. So says Rava. Now, Tosfos, just to finish up the Tosfos we were reading on the Bama and Lama Tessamanalas, Tosfos says that again, the way Rav Chiya Barashi understands is that since you intended to eat this bread and you were just breaking it up to eat it, even though you break it up before the bracha, that's not a problem. That's a bracha on whole bread. And Rabbi Chiya Savar, the second line from the bottom and Tosfos in the middle, right after the brackets, Rabbi Chiya Sfir Elei Tzara Shetichla Bracha Matas. The Imkain, Be'inan Shetichla HaBracha in Betzia Sapas. The bracha should be completed simultaneously with the breaking of the bread. It should not be completed after the breaking of the bread. The chayvan should be tsuah kodem lochein, since the pas hatsuma b'ka'ara has already been broken up. Lochein, shleima adit. Shleima, a whole loaf would be better. Avol, this is the key point to understanding the statement of Rav Chiya Barashi. Avol, e leka shleima, if there were no whole loaf in the first place, nobody would argue. Nobody would say if that only food that you have is pasat tsuma b'kara, you don't make hamotzi on it. Of course you make hamotzi on it. You're allowed to eat it. All right, so, you know, sometimes you say in life it's better, you know, sometimes it's better to have half a loaf than nothing. Right? But some people insist they always have to have a whole loaf. Well, guess what? If you only have half a loaf, you still make a bracha on it. And the bracha you make on it is hamotzi. That's all. So that is how Tosos and most Rishonim understand the statement of Rav Chiya Barashi that pasat tsuma b'kara mevarech aleha hamotzi. You make the bracha on it, not on, you don't have to make it on the shlema. As opposed to the Baal HaMor, who says mevarech aleha hamotzi, because pasat tsuma b'kara has lost its tzura sapas. Nonetheless, in this case, because it wasn't cooked, the Baal HaMor says that you make hamotzi on it, not shahakal or chalatah. Okay. So what is the conclusion, in fact, because this is important, and Rabbi Lichtstein noted correctly, following the Shulchan Aruch, that there is a distinction between Shabbos and the weekday. That's going to emerge from this Tosfos. But what is the halacha in the Gemara? Do we paskin like Rav Chiya Barashi? Do we paskin like Rav Chiya, or do we paskin like Rav? So the Gemara on the top line of Lamed Tesson and Beis, the last word on the line says, Nehardai, the sages of Nardah, Avdei Karabi Chiya. They follow Rabbi Chiya's opinion. The Rabbanon of the Kirava. And Talmidim, presumably in the base Medrash, I'm not sure which base Medrash, they followed Rava's opinion. Amar Ravina. Ravina said, Amar Li'ain, I guess Ravina's father must have died young, so he didn't know all of his father's practices. So he said, my mother told me, Avuch Avid Rabbi Chiya. The Amar Bichia Tzar Shetifla Bracha Mapas. Your father used to follow Rabbi Chia's opinion that you break the bread as you're finishing the bracha, not after you finish the bracha. The Rabbanon Avdi Karava, but the sages, his colleagues, used to do like Rava. And now the Gemara just says that Hilchas Karava, we paskin like Rava, to Amar Mevarech Achakach with this. So you basically have to wait to break the bread until after you have completed the bracha. So that's the conclusion of the Gemara.
Rabbi?
Yes, David.
So the Baal Amar says that we're talking about actually what bracha you need to make, and it has to do with whether this is still a Surat Hapat or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why does he feel compelled to read the Gemara this way when it's clear that they're talking about the sequence of bracha versus preparing the food to be eaten? It's clear that Rav Chia Bar Ash, that Rav Chia is talking not about the nature of the bread. He's clearly talking about when you have to make the bracha vis-a-vis when you're actually preparing the bread to be eaten. So why does the Baal Amar go in what looks like not to be the simplest way of reading it?
So if I recall correctly, the Rashba says, and if he didn't, you would still say this, what bothers the Baal Amar, the difficulty with Tosis's reading is why is the word hamotzi here? In other words, the Baal Hamor agrees,
uh-huh.
The Baal Hamor agrees that there's also an issue in Pasat Tsnuma B'Ka'ara. In other words, the Baal Hamor would agree that you make Hamotzi on it, and you may do so even if there's another bread there. But the fact that it says Hamotzi, and it doesn't mention the other loaf of bread, seems very clear that the point is what's the bracha you make on it. Memela, if he says you make hamotzi, I mean, you could ask, how does the Gemara know that this is any impact on the other stuff? So Pasat Tzuma B'Ka'ara is broken already. That, I think, everybody agrees to that. I don't say everybody agrees to the lock definition, but the core definition. The bread is broken up. So when you're saying you make a bracha on it, the Gemara seems to make an inference, and this is a leap, according to the Baal Amor, that this would be true even if you had other options in front of you. But according to the Tosfos, it makes no sense with Gemara whatsoever to say hamotzi. Just say pasat sum gum mevarchan aleh. So that's, I think, where the Baal Hamor is coming from.
Got it. No, that makes sense. I guess I'm missing something in Tosfos, because you don't need to invoke there being a separate loaf of bread here to explain the Gemara in a simple way. You can just say that the Gemara is arguing about what is the appropriate way of making a bracha. Is it, you know, do you wait for, are you, is it okay for it to be broken before you make the bracha or not?
Except that, in other words, the person's already broken the bread, right? You're dealing with the bidyavet. It's pasat tsnuma b'ka'ara. Right? The Gemara isn't saying that, so, I don't know, the word is not so named, but it doesn't say that mevatsin pasat, Rufia doesn't
right.
say, mevatsin pasat tsnuma b'ka'ara achakach mevarchan aleh. You're dealing with pasat tsnuma b'ka'ara. So the question is, what do you do? So either there is another loaf or isn't another loaf. And then what bracha do you make on it? So I think that is, in other words, it's not, the Gemara isn't saying l'chatzila, it's okay to break it up and then make the bracha. What it is, pasat tsnuma b'ka'ara already is. In fact, I would say to some extent, maybe you have no choice actually, because you can't make a bracha on the pasat tsnuma before you break it up, because you really have a hefsek between it, because in order to soak it, you have to break it up. So the only way to deal with that loaf of bread is not going to be edible until you break it up in the car and soak it a little bit. So you just
I guess I'm reading Mevarchin Aleh to be, I'm translating that to be, it's ideal to make a bracha on that, or it's okay to, it's perfectly fine too. Because if that were the case, then Ruchia would just say, no, you should make the bracha on the other loaf. It's just an asymmetry.
Tosis's reading is exceedingly difficult. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
There's no question. Right? The fact that it doesn't mention another loaf is very, very difficult. But I don't think Tosus wants to say that you can do it l'chatzila, because that's not what's under discussion. The only way to eat pasat tsnuma b'ka'ara probably is to break it up and soak it a little bit. Okay. Now, what does this mean, halacha l'maisa? So if you just stopped here and read the Gemara, you would assume, and I think that's the way the Rambam paskens, let me read you the Rambam. The Rambam is in Perek Zayin, halacha beis of Hilchos Brachos. Let me turn to my handy-dandy Ein Mishpat HaMaleh in the back of the Gemara. And the Rambam says, The Rambam says that Baal HaBayis Mevarech HaMotzi U'mashlim HaBracha V'achar Kach Botzeah. The end. Rambam says Baal HaBayis makes the bracha, finishes it, and then he breaks the bread. Now, the Rambam probably was dealing with flatbreads. And even if he weren't, I don't know if the Rambam would have ever cut a bread tonight, with knife. So that's really all that would seem to be here. But Tosfos writes something really interesting. Tosfos writes, V'hilchasa, this is the top Tosfos in Lamed Tes on the base. V'hilchasa, k'rabba de mevarech li'achka kachotzeh. Perush, shelo yafrish haprusa min hapas, ad achar habracha. You don't separate the prusa from the pasta. I don't know what he means. This is a question, what does he mean? Does it mean it's really porous already, but you don't separate it? Or he just means that which you will eventually cut off, you don't cut off until you finish the bracha. You know, the expression the Torah uses is ki yipol hanofel mimenu. Right? The Torah says build a, when you make a new house and you have a flat roof, you have to build a gate around it. You have to gild a makis so somebody doesn't fall off. So the Torah says, because the faller will fall from it. Well, guess what? Fallers don't fall. People who haven't fallen fall. Then they are fallers. After you no-fell, after you no-fell, then you're called a no-fell. That is a common expression. I don't think we use this in English so much, but ki yipol hanofel mimenu. So the same thing is true here, could be, shelo yafish haprusa min hapas. You don't separate the slice, the piece from the loaf, until you have to make the bracha. It's not a piece. It's not a prusa until after you make the bracha. I think that is what Tosfos means.
I wonder, Rabbi Weider, I wonder, because my minhag is very strange, cutting a loaf down to the last cut is exactly what Tosfos is saying. Don't make the bracha after the thing has become a prusa. You have to wait. And then in order to have it over la siyoso, you cut all the way through the challah or the loaf, then you make the bracha, and then you make the last slice. It's like tying the knot on the tefillin.
Yes. No, I think it's true, but by the way, it's still going to mean, it's not a prusa. When does it become a prusa?
When it's separated.
Correct. So the expression is still true. In other words, when it becomes a prusa when it's fully separated. The question is, what do you do? How far all do you go? So Tosfos will talk about that literally in the next slide. V'yesh shenau again levarech berachas hamotzi kodem shiachol. Tosfos says those are the minhag that you make hamotzi before you make any cut. And Tosfos is using the word chotech now, and that's the word that you use with a knife. So the conclusion I would reach as a historian, reading Baalei HaTosfos as a medieval historian of the Middle Ages, you know, historian of the Middle Ages. I'll take over my wife's profession, is that clearly in the time of the Baalei HaTosfos, they had loaves of bread and they cut them with knives. They didn't just rip them off because otherwise Tosfos wouldn't use the verb have to be chotech. So Tosfos says that those who have the minhag that they're not chotech, they finish the bracha without kodem shiyachto, today shekehe ha-pashlema b'shas bracha. The bread should be completely whole when you're making the bracha. But Tosfos says ve'ein ha-minhag nachon lasos keh. You shouldn't do that. It's not proper. First you make the bracha, then you start cutting, and by the time you get to a particular point, so then it's taken you a few seconds, and that is a hesech hadas. It's an interruption between the bracha and consuming the bread. So Tosfos sounds like, as Rabbi Lichtenstein pointed out, that really, you're supposed to cut some piece of the bread off, so there's very little to do. All you really have to do is kind of separate it at the last second when you finish the bracha. So that, Tosfos says, well, that's what Rabbi Lichtenstein described, what he does on Shabbos, at least, that's not correct then, because that's not what Tosfos says. But, if you look in the next words in Shabbos, umihu, v'shabbos nachon lahachmir, on Shabbos you should be machmir, ulevarech kodem sheyachto. Now, it's a little bit odd when Tosfos uses the word lahachmir, because it's a chumra both ways. But the reason why Tosfos says that you're supposed to cut the bread most of the way during the week is because you don't want a hesek. You don't want a concern of hesek hadas that you get distracted. You made a bracha, you think you've eaten the bread. Here, you're busy sawing away. By the time you get to it, you've been thinking about the Yankees game or the Mets game or the Celtics or whatever it is you've been thinking about. No, you know, you want to, so that's a chumrah in effect that Tosus has. But here Tosus says it's better to be machmir not to slice the bread.
Why?
Because what happens if you slip? What happens if you're cutting with that knife and oops, you go a little too far and you break the piece of bread off? Well, guess what? During the week, you started your bracha. Okay, it's a big deal. So at the end of the day, the bread wasn't fully whole when you finished the bracha. No, you made a bracha already. The bracha's on the bread. You eat the bread. There's no issue whatsoever. But if it's on Shabbos, Tosfos says, she'oz lo yiyeh lo lecha mishnah. Because from lichatchila, for the mitzvah lecha mishnah, you're supposed to have two whole loaves. Not because of Birchas HaMotzi, but because of Lecha Mishnah. So on Shabbos, we're afraid that you cut, and you cut, and you cut, but you don't want to cut all the way. You accidentally cut all the way. By the time you finish the bracha, it's no longer considered a shlim. And therefore, on Shabbos, Tosfos says, you should not cut the bread. You should make the bracha, finish the bracha, and then cut the bread or tear off the bread. This entire discussion, if you think about the one line that I read from the Rambam, doesn't make sense in a culture where there is no chaticha, where you don't cut bread with a knife, either because you don't cut bread with a knife, or because your bread isn't suitable to be cut with a knife. It's a flat bread. Because if you're in such a culture where you don't cut bread with a knife, there's no difference between Shabbos and during the week, because you don't really have an option of, I know theoretically you could take your pita and try to, nobody's going to do that, right? And the truth is, the pita, I don't know why Tosus thought it was, again, if you're cutting bread, I understand why there's a hefset. If you're tearing bread, think about a pull-apart. And even if you did that with a regular challah, camp weave, it usually would tap. When I go to Camp Stone, inevitably on Shabbos, it's always what happens. Nobody has a challah knife there. So somebody in Mishpachot has a loaf of bread, yeah, has a regular challah, you know, full challah. Somebody makes the bracha and just starts tearing it and giving pieces to people. So it doesn't take very long to tear bread. It does take long to cut bread. So Tosus, in fact, in a strange way, reflects the reality that would not have existed at the time of the Gemara, A, because nobody was cutting with a knife, and B, because once you're not cutting with a knife, there's no hefsek between the bitsia and the thing. It's like 1 through 3. So it doesn't take really, it takes microseconds or milliseconds longer to tear the bread off than it does to finish off the last part of the cut for Tosus. But in Tosus's view, because they're cutting the bread with a knife, ordinarily it's not appropriate to leave the bread totally uncut because of the concern of hefsek hadas. Whereas once on Shabbos, there's a countervailing factor, there's a counterbalancing factor, which says don't cut into the bread, because if your hand slips and you go too far, well, now you have a problem, you don't have a proper lecha mishnah. I'll read to you the Shulchan Aruch here, and I wanted to, well, there's another part of Tosfos I want to talk about, it's very interesting. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Kuf Samach Zion, the laws of Betzia Sapas, says the following. Botseya, I'll leave the first part. I have to quote the first part because it's so much fun. Which part of the challah are you supposed to break from? Well, we usually do the end, because that's really the only choice to do, especially if you're cutting, although some people could cut in the middle. So the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch says, Botseya Pas, the Makom Shenefahete, in a place where it's really baked, where it's got a good solid crust. You know who we learned this in from? We learned this from Menashe Melech Yehuda. The Gemara in Chelek tells us that the Mishnah tells us that there are three kings who have no Chelek Olam Haba. Yeravam, Achav, and Menashe. And some of the Amorim liked the Darshan about them. They didn't have nice things to say. So Rav Ashi, you know, was Darshaning about the three kings. And one night in a dream, Menashe Melech Yehuda came to him and was complaining and said, what are you doing? And he asked him, he gave him a bechina. He asked him, where are you supposed to make Betzias HaPas from? And Rashi says, I don't know. He says, you're supposed to make it from the, whatever he says, something like this. And he says, you don't even know where you're supposed to be Betzias HaPas from, and you're busy darshaning about me? And Rashi said to him, yeah, but look at all the Avodah Zarah you did. He said, yeah. Menashe said, but if you lived in my time with the Eitz of Avodah Zarah, you would have lifted your skirt to run after, to worship it even more. Anyway, so basically from Menashe Melech Yehuda, we learned this particular din in Shulchan Aruch, that you're supposed to be boteah from the place that the bread has a nice solid crust. I think that's a good thing too, because I think the crust is the best part of the bread, but I understand that's a personal opinion. Then the Shulchan Aruch continues and says, V'yachtoch prusas habitzia, and he's already using Tosafot's language, cutting with a knife, which leads me to conclude that in Tzfat, in the 16th century, they were cutting their bread, some of their breads, with a knife. So V'yachtoch prusas habitzia, you should cut off what is going to be your prusa, that for your being botzea, your breaking of the bread, V'tzarach lachtoch ma'at, so he says, how much do you cut? Enough, you should cut, but it has to be enough left that you could pick up the loaf of bread by that slice. If you were to pick up the loaf, imagine you cut the challah. If you cut like an inch into the challah, and you were to grab the challah by the end, you'd pick up the challah, it would all stay together. But if you were to cut like three quarters of the way, or even halfway through the challah, and you were to pick up that end, you know what would probably happen to your challah? It would be like timber. The rest of the challah would come off. So the Shulchan Aruch says, the Mechaber says, that you have to leave enough on that it's still being held on. Because if it doesn't, she'imalav kein, chashiv kiprusa. It's like a prusa already. So v'yanichen mechuberes lepas, you should leave it attached to the bread, meaning you make cut it part way, and then v'yaschil levarich. Then you make a bracha. V'achar shesiyim habracha. Once you finish the bracha, yafridena, you should then separate it once you finish the bracha, so that when you're finishing the bracha, like Rava said, the bread is still whole. Okay, but then the Rama comes along and says the following: Uvishabis lo yachtoch bekikar ad achar habracha, today sheyu hakikaros shlemos. You shouldn't cut until after the bracha, so that they should be whole. It's not terrible, and he doesn't really spell it out, but presumably because until you cut it beyond a certain point, it technically still is whole. Right? Tosus makes clear that the only reason on Shabbos you shouldn't cut part of the way into the challah is because you might cut too far. But if you haven't cut too far, Tosus still considers it a shalach. Okay. So that is the practice that Rabbi Lichtenstein told us about, that he does, and that reflects the practice of the halacha recorded in the Mechaber and the Rama. So during the week, if a person were cutting a loaf of bread, you should cut, according to the Mechaber, you should cut a good amount of the whey, but not enough that the bread would come off. And then on Shabbos, the Rama says, you don't cut at all.
I'm pretty sure I heard this from the Rav to do this. I didn't find it at home. That's not what my father did. But I think I learned it from the Rav. But my recollection is that it was an issue of overlasiyoso. In other words, you want to do the bracha immediately before the betziah. And if you haven't cut at all, then it takes time for you to go through the whole, let's say a rye bread, for example. It's not going to cut it instantaneously. So it's overly over.
That's what Tosafot is saying about Hasech Hadas.
Oh, that's what,
I think that's what he means by it. In other words, I would have used the term Hesek, which is really what you're talking about there. But it's not a hefsek in the technical sense unless you talk or do something else, which the Gemara will talk about on the bottom of Amud. We'll get there. You know, once you set a motzi, you're not allowed to talk. What if you need salt? What if you need a knife? What, et cetera. So it's not a hefsek if it's necessary for the bread, but ideally you want the bracha to be as close to the achila as possible because it's supposed to be over lasiyasan, as the Gemara Pesachim uses the expression, but not over the over. Like the bracha is supposed to be made before the mitzvah, but not an hour before the mitzvah, or 20 minutes before the mitzvah. It's supposed to be made right before the mitzvah. So I think that's the same thing. I think the concept of being over, but not over the over, is the same thing that we're talking about here. Not having
a mitzvah. Yeah.
Rabbi?
Yes.
If Rava is saying that we should make the bracha first and then cut, why are we being more machmir than Rava? And is it possible that this issue of chaticha is the difference? In other words, that Rava was breaking and Tosfos is saying, now that
maybe
we're
I, maybe I didn't spell it out that way earlier, but that's exactly what I was thinking, which is, I'm going to work backwards from the fact that Rava only talks about Botzea. I would say that Tosfos could only raise, and that's why I think the Rambam doesn't, Tosfos can only come up with this, I don't want, call it whatever you want, a Chumrah, Hakada, whatever term you want to use. He only comes up with it and he only has to deal with it because he's cutting with a knife and it takes time. Had Tosfos been in a culture in which they were Botzea, which I suspect is what the Rambam was dealing with, either because of the nature of the bread or just because of the nature of the culture and how they ate, you wouldn't even be talking about what Tosfos is talking about. Right? I think that the Tosfos would agree that if you had a pull apart challah, don't pull anything apart until you finish the bracha because it's instantaneous. Finish the bracha, you know, it takes, you know, a tenth of a second to tear the bread and do it. But anybody who cuts with a knife, it takes time. I mean, it doesn't take a minute, but it takes a notice about the time. It's not instantaneous. Whereas once you're botzea, if you're dealing with something you tear by hand, loaf or not, it's essentially immediate after the bracha. So yes, I there's no question in my mind that in the Gemara, Rava was either not dealing with a loaf or they just been cut with a knife, and both of those might have been true, but either one was enough for Rava to not feel there's any need to do anything before finishing the bracha. And Tosos comes up with this idea that you should cut into it already precisely because he's dealing with chotech. And I would pay careful attention to the verbs there, but I think chotech, I don't think I'm going out on a very thin limb when I would venture to guess that chotech as it's used in rabbinic literature as a verb always means to cut with an implement, a knife or something like that. And that the term botzea, which is probably, I don't know if it's short biblical, it might be, I mean, the verb is biblical. That the term botzea means that we would say break bread, right? We say the term break bread, I think, comes from that as opposed to cut bread or slice bread.
Okay.
So Rabbi, in terms of the implications of this with respect to the bracha and the cutting, so the person who makes hamotzi, should they cut for themselves first and eat and then give to everyone? What's the implication of that in terms of over lasiyason and the bracha?
I have to look if it says anything explicit in Shulchan Aruch. The question I know is discussed. It seems to me intuitive that the botzea should immediately eat. Especially, particularly if you believe...
I mean, based on what you said, that would seem to be the case.
Yes, and again, I have to look it up. But as I mentioned earlier in Shir, there is a debate. What happens if the person who cuts the challah has a piece and they're still cutting more and other people at the table talk before they have eaten? Does this interfere with their bracha? I think that we postulate Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't to the other. Which furthermore suggests that really what's happening is there's a bracha and the bracha is everybody's bracha. That bracha covers everybody, but you can't have a hefsek between the bracha and the achila. Otherwise it severs the bond. So as soon as the botzea eats from it, now the bracha has been connected to the achila, and that's not different than what any of us do, as I mentioned before, in a meal. Whenever you eat, you make a bracha, you eat something, right? Everybody knows you don't say anything until you eat something. But we don't say that you can't interrupt. And, you know, this, if I make a, let's say, I don't know, I make a mizonos, and I'm having a dish of pasta. We don't say that if I talk in the middle of eating the entire bowl, I have to make a new bracha, because there's a hefsek between the bracha and the achila that I'm doing that. No, we say that the bracha has to be tied to the achila. And once you do that, now, as long, you know, until you have a real hefsek hadas, where you decide you're not eating anymore, you're sort of a new thing, short of that, you can eat as much as you like and have as much conversation as you like in between, and it's not a problem. So by the same token, if I am breaking bread for everybody at the table, once I eat, so now the bracha has been connected to the achila, and then anybody can talk now and then eat more. Even if they actually haven't, again, we don't do this lachatzila, but even if they actually haven't had any of the bread themselves. So if I'm correct in that, I have to look that up, then for sure, it seems to be obvious the botzea should immediately eat from that food. Furthermore, if you think about the Gemara and Arvei Pesachim, what happens when, this happens occasionally, people should be aware of this, that you should be careful about this. When the Baal HaBayis doesn't eat from the bread, so what does he do? He slices up a whole bunch of things, and then they pass it around. And sometimes the Baal HaBayis is still busy cutting, and hasn't eaten while they started passing the cut stuff around. You're not allowed to eat from that, you're not allowed to eat from that until the Baal HaBayis is eaten. There's a Gemara, in fact, it's an important Gemara, unless you had the bread in front of you at the time. Each person has a challah in front of them, a roll in front of them, and the Baal HaBayis makes the bracha, then you don't have to wait. There's a Gemara in the 10th parak of Psachim, Arei Psachim, which is a great story. I think Rav Ashi was invited to a town, Shabbos morning, and they wanted to honor him. They asked him to make Kiddusha Rabbah. Now, Rav Ashi had no idea what is Kiddusha Rabbah? The great Kiddush. Of course, you know that it's a euphemism. Kiddush during the day is a nebuch. It's a nothing. It's just Bari Pirei Gavin is a beautiful thing, but it's not really Kiddush. So we just make a Bari Pirei Gavin and we call that Kiddusha Rabbah. We want to make it feel good, I guess. So Rav Ashi wasn't sure what to do. So what is he going to do? He didn't want to ask. He was embarrassed. So he does the following. Every Kiddush, really, forget Psukim, every Kiddush starts with Bari Pirei Gavin. So he makes the Bari Pirei Gavin and he takes a pause. And there's this older gentleman there who leaned over and started to drink from his coat. So Rav Ashi understood that was the end of Kiddush. Kiddusha Rabbah was, there was no Kiddush. It was just the Bari Pirei Gavin. So that's how he knew. But Tosus, I think Tosus talks about there, the Zaken was only allowed to drink from it because he had his own coat, he had a coat in front of him. But if not, you have to wait for the Baal HaBayis in order. The Baal HaBayis must drink before you drink. Now, I don't remember what the explanation for that then is. I have to go look. There are two possibilities. One possibility is that's just not makabedik. The Baal HaBayis is the one who gives everybody rishus to eat. He makes the bracha, so you shouldn't eat before the Baal HaBayis. But there might be another reason for that, which is that the primary achila that's connected to the bracha is the achila of the Baal HaBayis. The Baal HaBayis made the bracha for everybody. The Baal HaBayis is eating. Therefore, you have to connect the Baal HaBayis' bracha with the achila first before anybody else is allowed to eat. And if that's the case, once again, that would very strongly suggest, Larry, that the first thing that the Botzer should do before he passes anything around is, in fact, to eat himself. And then he can cut, and everybody should still be quiet, and then they'll eat. Ron.
Question about Lechem Mishneh. Sometimes people do Lechem Mishneh for all three meals of Shabbos. It only seems to make sense for the Friday night meal. Lechem Mishneh, right? It's to represent the man. That was on Friday, not on Shabbat. So, people, where does it come from? My question.
Well, I don't know. That's a left field question. I know I've invited that. All I would say, I don't know the answer to the question, but by your argument, why should you need Lechem Mishneh Friday night? You also only ate one bread Friday night.
But it was given on Friday.
Yeah.
To portions.
It's a Zecher Laman. That's all. So I understood it. And I think that Lechatchila, we ideally like you to have Lechem Mishneh even by Shal Shuvah. Certainly Lechem, but even maybe Lechem Mishneh. So yeah, you're right. It's true again, I don't know how the Lechem Mishneh work with three Sudas. We do assume that there are three Sudas on Shabbos, because Vayom and Moshe, Ichlu Hayom, Yishabath Hayom Lashem, Hayom Lo Simtu Vasadeh. So I don't know, if you ate one bread by the first meal and one bread by the second meal, not only do you not have Lechem Mishneh by Shal Shudas, but you don't have Lechem at all. So obviously, many individual Klal Yisrael have decided to rely upon that. I mean, this is in Shulchan Aruch already. What do you really need the Evetz for Shal Shudas? But I don't know why. I assume it's just Shabbos had Lechem Mishneh, so therefore, whenever we eat on Shabbos, we try to have Lechem Mishneh. Okay.
Can I add one more thing?
Go ahead.
On the issue of everybody else not drinking or eating until the Baal HaBayis, who made the bracha, drank and ate. So Rav Soloveitchik was mechalek in this between Kiddush and Motzi. Although he did say, if you have in front of you a glass, then essentially, halachically, you can drink even before the Baal HaBayis drinks, because you have your own cup, and it's over that cup, and you can drink. But he was mechalek. He felt that the end of Kiddush is the drinking. Kiddush isn't finished until the Baal HaBayis, who made the Kiddush, has drunk. I never quite understood it, but I'm beginning to understand it a little bit better now. But he said in, and I believe he based it on the Tosfos, that at a motzi, the reason for not eating until the Baal HaBayis has eaten is not a halachic reason. It's a derech eretz reason. But I do think what you're saying is correct. I'm actually going to... I have the minhag always of pouring off first for everybody, and in the case of motzi, cutting until I can pass it around. I think it's more correct because of hesach hadas that you should take a drink first. And you should also take a piece of the motzi first, if you're doing the bracha.
I have my Blin Eder, the opening part of next week's shiur, which will be in person, also on Zoom. I wasn't planning on going off in that direction, but I will prepare the materials on that so we can go over that and I get a little more clarity on this issue, and then we'll move on in Eric and Mark. Okay, but now that we've raised it, so I have responsibility to finish it properly. Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you. So the next time you come to my house, I'll do it right.
You you know, I won't even tell you that I always do it consistently. I usually eat myself, but if you tell me that I always do it, you know, again, as Rabbi Lichtenstein said, I can say the same. I didn't grow up necessarily seeing this. I don't remember what my father did. So it takes habit also to change, you know, old ways. So okay. Anyway. Excellent. Thank you, everybody. And